I guess the best way to start a story is really from the beginning. And this story begins way back in Genesis, doesn't it? It begins with God judging the serpent. And he said, the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle. And every beast of the field, upon thy belly thou shalt go, and dust shalt thou eat all thy days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, talking about Eve, and between thy seed and her seed. And it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. So basically we had the promise of the Messiah to come through the seed of the woman. And ultimately the Lord selected a new race, the race of Abraham, and the Davidic line, in which the Savior would come down. But to a lot of believers in the time of Jesus' birth, we're not ignorant of the time or the approximate time of his birth. The unbelievers and the religious crowd of those age probably didn't have a clue. But I read basically back into my favorite prophecy, which was the 70-week prophecy of Daniel, that the angel Gabriel gave to Daniel. About 70 weeks are determined upon my people, upon my holy city, to finish the transgression and to make an end of sin and to make reconciliation for iniquity and to bring in everlasting righteousness. And he talks about the seven weeks to be determined and the 70 weeks that are to be determined, which is 490 years. And we know that in 7 years short of that Messiah was cut off. So in order for Messiah to be cut off, Messiah would have had to have come into the world and to have been born. And it is determined that he would probably was born about 6 B.C. At that time. So even the promises of Simeon and Anna were fulfilled because they were given the promise that they would not die before they saw the glory of Messiah coming into the world. And of course, we know that that's a reality from Matthew. But then we move into this place of Bethlehem, and we read about the wonderful prophet of Micah, who prophesied in about the 5th and 6th century B.C. About the promise of a Redeemer and where he would come from. And he, in chapter 5, verse 2, Micah states, "But thou, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall come forth unto me, that is to be the ruler of Israel, whose going forth have been from of old and everlasting." So we had the promise of the Messiah coming, and he would be born in Bethlehem. So let's have a look at the account of Luke in beginning of chapter 2. "And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world to be taxed." That would be the Roman world, all the area under Roman occupation, which was the situation in this land at that time. "And this taxing was first made when Cyrenus was governor of Syria." So they've been able to prove the approximate time of this time as a result of Cyrenus being alive at that time out of Syria. "And they all went to be taxed, every one to his own city. And Joseph, being a law-abiding citizen under the authority of Rome at that time, also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child at that time," being basically her days were upon her to be delivered. "And it was so that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in death bandages," just as we were stating that he was born in a stable, and those stables were in a cave. A cave is where a lot of people, they took their dead, they wrapped them in what we called swaddling clothes, but in actual fact they were death bandages, and they were all wrapped up. And of course they would have been old death bandages that were laying around in this cave at that time. So they took what was there and wrapped him in death bandages, which was a significance because he really came to die, didn't he? So that was really a manifestation of that, and laid him in a manger, which was a feeding trough, just like we had shown to us a few steps before, where there was a, they called it a manger, but in actual fact it was a feeding trough for stock, and she laid him there. And she laid him in the manger, for there was no room for them in the inn. Everyone was traveling around, and all the accommodation was full. People were billeting people in their different places, and there just was no room for them. So they went into a cave where there was a stable, and she brought forth her firstborn son. I'd like to focus a little bit on the shepherds, because I think a lot of people forget a little bit about the shepherds. The shepherds in those days were roaming these hills here. And what were they shepherding? They were actually shepherding the sheep that were used for the animal sacrifices of that day. They were bred to be pure and without spot and without blemish. But the actual shepherds themselves, the religious crowd, basically scorned them a bit. They wouldn't allow them in the temple area or anything of that nature. And yet the Lord used a group of people who were scorned by the religious people to glorify him by the angels coming to them, them going to the birthplace and witnessing the birth of the child there. But in order for the Lord to come and to fulfill his ministry, he had to come into the world. He came in the world through humanity, in that he was born of a woman, but without the imputation of Adam's original sin that comes through man. So he was virgin, came in the world virgin birth, because that was essential. So he was born like Adam was created. You know, Adam was created, you know, pure humanity without an old sin nature, totally body, soul, and spirit, uncorrupted at that point in time. But when Adam fell, in order for someone to reconcile man to God, had to be equal with both parties. So we have Jesus Christ coming into the world, true humanity, true deity, in one person forever, called the hypostatic union, led a perfect life, a sinless life, and was able to go to the cross and take the imputation of our sins. So with these things in mind, let us pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father and our God, we are so grateful for your unique plan that has been unfolded before us here in this place. We thank you for everything that you've given us, but most of all, we thank you for bringing your Son into the world in this unique way, consistent with your promise, consistent with the prophets of old, consistent with your timing of all things. We know that you control the nations, you control the destiny of us all, and to that extent, we look forward to fulfilling that destiny to the glory of your Son, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.